covering concepts of the kingdom. Who can tell me in its most simplistic form the concept of kingship? What does kingship mean in its basic form? Nobody? Absolutely correct. God's boss. He has all authority. He can do whatever he wants to do. Then we studied about lordship. Who knows about lordship? Ownership. Absolute ownership over everything, including us. And then last week we did the concept of territory. And what did we come up with that? Absolutely. The worth of the king is determined by the territory and the resources within the territory. And our Father is King of kings and Lord of lords. He owns it all, and it is far above what we could ever ask or imagine. Today we're going to look at the concept of a constitution or covenant. Constitution or covenant. There is no nation or kingdom that has been or will be that has existed without a constitution. Okay? There hasn't been. Even communism has had a constitution. Okay? And this constitution originates with the king. Okay? My eyeball's on. Oh, there it is. This covenant is with the king and with his people, and it originates from the king. It is by the king, and it is solely for the king. Covenant. Letting that one sink in a little bit. In other words, the Lord calls the shots. And this covenant that we've entered into is by the Lord's doing, not by our doing. The Constitution clearly, or the covenant clearly states the aspirations and desires of the king for his people and for his kingdom. And within the Constitution is the principles of which all things operate, the manner and conditions that the king will relate to him, to his people, and his people to him. What does that mean? Again, it means that the king will tell us how he wants us to behave and how we're supposed to approach him. When we come into the sanctuary on Sunday mornings, there is a right way and a wrong way to approach the king. Whether you realize it or not, we are in audience with the king. That's the truth. Not only do we worship him for what he has done for us this past week and what he will do in the weeks ahead in our lives and his provision for us and the care for our lives and all, he provides an opportunity for us to come to him and have audience with him. And in that audience, we can express our gratitude, our worship, our love, our adoration in that time of audience with him. That's all prescribed within the Constitution. And the Constitution is another form of a royal contract that the king has with his people. It is not a contract that the people have with the king. It is the king with the people. If it is a contract that originates with the people to the king, we call that democracy. Because nothing originates with us. In this country, it's called democracy. We the people, for the people, of the people. We the people, of of these United States. And if you read the Constitution of the United States, you will see what is provided for us as citizens of these United States. And as I said to you before, we have a dual citizenship. Once we enter into the kingdom of heaven, that should be our primary focus. Our allegiance is to the King of all creation. Not to just the United States. We're to obey the laws of the United States or where we are in the world. But ultimately, our responsibility is to the King. Now, in these terms that the King has written out, all that is required of his subjects is their obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do these things. If you don't love them, you won't do these things. Now, for those who love the King, we'll do these things. And because we do those things because we love the King, he pours out blessings upon us. Many times we look at those blessings and we don't recognize them. We don't recognize or we take for granted these blessings. But then there's those who have the option not to obey what the King says. And we also know that eventually grace wears out and mercy is no longer found. And the only thing left for those individuals is what? Judgment and punishment. As citizens, we have the choice. God will not allow us or He will not violate our free will. He gives us the choice whether we want to obey Him or not obey Him. But it's all contained within the Constitution. Now, in the Constitution, God has written this Constitution within the Bible. And I want us to see some things, if you would turn to Genesis, how in two of these covenants we can make a choice. In Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, we see that the Lord God says, as He's recreating the earth, He says, let us make them in our image. Let us make them in our image. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and all the creatures that move along the ground. And God created man in His image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living creature that moves upon the ground. Genesis 2, 15 through 18 states, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any of the trees in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you shall surely die. What we see here is we refer to this first constitution that God implements as the Adamic covenant, Adam's covenant with God. And God sets out this parameter for him. We say that, you know, for a king, he must have a territory. And we know that God has created the earth and given that territory to who? To Adam. To Adam. We'll get there, Dan. Okay? He created this domain because he is king. And a king can do whatever with his stuff that he wants to, right? And like we said last week about King Ferdinand and his son wanted to be king, so he sent him to the New World to rule over Brazil, or the territory of Brazil and much of South America. God, in the same sense, has done that with us, with Adam. He has said, you can't be king, but I can make you king over an area, a domain. And we know that having a domain determines the wealth of the king and his lordship, right? And so what we see here, that all Adam had to do was obey God, right? All we got to do is obey God. That's all we got to do to get the blessings. Now, we like to do what we like to do, not what the king wants to do. Because, as we see, Adam didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do. Adam was king, little king. God is king, big king. Big king, big K. And because Adam did not obey the word of the Lord, Satan deceived, and the rest is history. We know. And we have now that Adamic condition in us called sin. It's called the original sin, where we don't want to do what the king asks us to do. Right? But let's look a little bit further at another transaction. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, we see the Lord speaking to another person. And this person is Abram. And he says, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." In Genesis 15, 1, verses 1 and 5, the Lord says to him, "And after this, the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am your shield, your very great reward.' And he took him outside and said, 'Look up into the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.'" And at that time, Abraham didn't have kids. And we look through the rest of that chapter, and it talks about the fiery furnace, and Abram had sliced up the oxen, he had sliced up the heifer, he had sliced up the sheep and the goats and the doves and all, and he laid them out on either side, and God didn't show up for a whole day, and Abram's running off air, keeping the birds of prey off the meat. So eventually, God came and walked through the parted sacrifices with Abram, and he made a covenant with Abraham, changed his name to Abraham, as the Jewish brothers like to say, Abraham. And we know that Abraham was obedient to God, right? He got up, he left his father's house, he left the country, and he proceeded to go to his uncle's house up in Ur. Right? If you read the scriptures, you'll see that I'm telling you the truth. He was not obedient immediately to God. And God kept on chastising him. Go to a land. Land is equated to domain, dominion. That I will show you, that you have no knowledge of. And I will bless you, increase you. All Abraham had to do was do what God said to do. Right? And in this covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, we see that God again sets up the criteria. He gives the terms of the covenant to Abraham. And Abraham could have rescind it and said, "Nah, I don't want to get involved in this." Or he could have, and he did, obey the Lord. Not fully, but he moved out. And the thing I want to emphasize to you is what the prophet Jeremiah says in 29 verses 11 through 14. Jeremiah says that the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and place you where I have once banished you, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." You see, it was an oral agreement that God had given to these men. And that oral agreement is binding through all time. All the covenants that God had cut through to the final covenant with Jesus Christ are ours. Everything that God says that He will do because He's the King. He just asks us to believe and obey. To do it His way. It's hard. It's really hard because some of us don't believe that God has our best intentions. He doesn't have our good because after all, God, you know, I want to do this or that. I need this job, so I'll keep running around looking for this job to make it happen. And every door is being closed in my face. Not realizing that it's the Lord shutting these doors. Oh, I'm under attack. I have this or that going on in my life. Well, are you obeying what God is telling you to do? Well, no, because first you just stop here. No, I don't need to know anything more. It's what the King says. It's not what I say. It's what the King says. And those of you who know me are getting to understand why I'm saying to you. So, what's God saying to you? Because I already know. Because I seek the King. I want to know what He's doing. I want to know how He's going to go about doing things. I want to be blessed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to be obedient to what He wants. Because He tells me that He'll bless me through my obedience. Now this constitution that we have sets the standards. And these standards that we have delineate or measure the terms. And clearly these terms have to be understood by the citizens of the King. And we have that in written form. We call it the Bible. And you guys know, I tell you, be in the Word. Satan will keep you from being in the Word. He does not want you to know who you are, what you have, and what authority you can wield. He wants you ignorant. He wants you to be satisfied with the lower things, not the eternal things. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I need people in my life. Well, yeah, well, we all do. But God needs you to surrender to Him first. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just a newborn babe, and I don't fully understand. Neither did I. I just kept reading and letting the Holy Spirit start speaking to me and telling me what He wanted me to do. And you know what was funny? When I did those things, my life got better. It's amazing. I read it. I was stupid enough to believe it. And guess what? Good things happened. I became smart. I did, because God is smarter than me a whole lot. And I realized how duped I was in believing what the world and what my friends were trying to tell me. That for once in my life, I found somebody who really cares about me. And it's the King who cares about me, and He cares about you. Satan is a cruel king. He doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to know God. He doesn't want you to know the truth. He doesn't want you to see that God's plans are to prosper you and to bring good things to you. Satan wants you to not read this or believe it. He wants you to do what you want to do, because in the end, it leads to destruction. And Satan takes real joy in seeing us destroy our lives. And then we blame each other for the destruction in our lives, when the reality of it is we need to look at ourselves. Really? Why aren't you in the Word? Because you don't want to know what God says. You don't want to be held accountable to do what it is that God says. But I'll tell you what. I've learned a long time ago, I'm going to do it God's way. Because it's the right way. The words of the king is the Constitution. His words do not produce the law of the Constitution. His words are the Constitution. And out of the Constitution comes the law. And the Constitution is not the law. It only produces the law. We had the Constitution of the United States. It declares how the citizens are to be, how the government's to be, how we're to relate to each other. And then the law comes along and says, if you don't do this, this is what will happen to you. And next week we're going to look at the law and how that plays into everybody's lives and how the king sets the standards. We can either elevate to those standards and live a life far above whatever we could ever ask or imagine, or we could grovel in the mud. It's our choice. Our Father's choice is to get us off the floor, set us at a chair, and feast at His table. All the good things that He has for us. Amen? It's really His desire. The covenant, once it's in written form, becomes a legal document. And this legal document codifies the king's will, his desire, and his intent for his people in the Bible. God moved various men to write down his thoughts and his will and make it understandable for us. This is not a book that you can read on the bestsellers list. Okay? It is a spiritual manual for us. It is our textbook for life. And in it contains life. For the Word is life. In it we can have whatever it is that we want. And we can say the silly little prayer that we have in the end, but if we are not putting it into practice, it is just words. Our spirits are starving for lack of exercise and feeding. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know, I reflected my life before I come to Christ, and I saw how I was just spinning out of control and spinning down. It's kind of like this dogfight that's going on in life. And all of a sudden, Satan shoots me, and my airplane is going down. And he's laughing at me all the way through, because I think that I'm in control. But I'm crashing and I'm burning. Look at your lives. Examine your lives and see what's going on in your lives. Is your lives changing? Are your lives stagnant? Or are your lives spinning out of control downwardly? I can't answer that. I can only answer for my life. But I know that once I started reading the Word, submitting myself to discipleship and being challenged in the way I started to think and being held accountable for the things that the King holds me accountable. You know, whether you read it or not is immaterial. You are accountable to what the King says. Ignorance of what He says is no excuse. And to know His will and continue to do contrary to His will, as I said, will eventually lead us to judgment and damnation. That's the truth. The truth. I encourage you to get into the Word. I encourage you to get discipled. I encourage you to start making application. Because God has a plan to prosper you. He has a plan that will bring good things into your life. And not only in your life, in the life of your children, your children's children, your children's children's children. And you could just keep adding on and on and on and on, because The blessings of God goes up to 1,000 generations or forever as long as we continue to walk with the Lord and be obedient to Him. You can't call Him Lord if He's not your Lord. Because Lord states ownership. When we say the Lord Jesus, does He own you? That's a question that only you can answer. If He don't own you, except the time that you're sitting here, He don't own you at all. And it's immaterial to me. I don't really care. Because it's your life. You can be deceived, but God's not. God's not going to be mocked, and He's not going to be deceived. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor. Okay, I don't understand. But I do know this, that once I apply the Word of God to my life, God changes my life for good. He does. And once I continue to stay in that, I change. And guess what happens? My family changes. The blessings change. Is it a struggle? Absolutely. But you know what? I learn better ways. I learn disciplines that I never knew before. I learn how to honor the King in all areas of my life. Am I successful all the time? No, because I'm made out of the same stuff as you are. I still have the Adamic nature in me, and it's a battle. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross and die daily. It's dying to what you want in order to honor the King. And we talked in Bible study last week how important it is to put the flesh under. Because if you don't put the flesh under, you will be incapable of hearing the voice of the Lord. And when you can't hear the voice of the Lord, you are hearing other voices. And they're not saying things that will bring you into goodness. They are saying things to bring you into temporary goodness. So what have we learned today about the Constitution or the Covenant? First of all, the source of the Constitution or Covenant originates with the King, according to Psalms 10, verse 16. Psalm 33, verse 11. Psalm 119, verses 89 and 152. The Constitution or Covenant contains the benefits and privileges of the citizens. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Matthew 18, 19 through 21. John 14, 1 through 4. I'll leave them out for you. The King obligates Himself to the tenets or the laws of the covenant. Genesis 22:16, Hebrews 6:13. The Constitution contains the rights of the citizens that are established by the King. And only the King can change the covenant. We cannot change it. We can either agree with it and enter into it or not enter into it. The Constitution is a reference for life in the kingdom. It states the values, the moral code, and standards of behavior for its citizens. Exodus 20, verses 3 through 17, Matthew 5, 3 through 10. And finally, the Constitution contains the statutes of the kingdom. Luke 21, 33, 1 Peter 1, 25. You don't have to take my word for it. But I can tell you the truth that to live a life contrary to what the King states in His word, you're building a house on sand. That is the truth. Eventually, something's going to come in your life and is going to sweep it all away. And your condition is going to be worse than when you first started. In the kingdom are principles. And these principles do not change. God says, I do not change, so something else has to change, and that's us. Those individuals who build their lives upon kingdom principles will build for eternal, hear me, eternal success, not temporal success. Because these principles do not change, these principles will enhance your ability to go further in the kingdom than you ever asked or imagined. To be used by God in ways that bring Him glory and honor, and in the end, you reap tremendous rewards when we stand before Him in the great day of judgment. Next week, we're going to talk about the law and how important it is for us to understand the law of the Spirit versus the law of sin and death. But for today, it's the Constitution. God has cut a covenant with us. We need to find out what are our benefits and make a decision based on what He says, not on what I tell you. Because I'm just a servant walking in obedience to what He says. Amen? Amen. Father, I just rejoice in You, Lord God. I thank You, Father, that You cut covenant with men, God. And Your desire is to exalt men to be more than they could ever ask or imagine. That, God, You are more than sufficient to carry us to the utmost and provide for us, God. Lord, help us to trust You and increase our faith to walk in these ways, God, that would be honoring to You. Cause our hearts, God, to cause the things of the world to become distant to us, Lord. That we no longer be gravitating or enamored by these things, God. But we would look to You, Father, the author and finisher of our faith. God, make real to us and experience Your Spirit in a new and living way. As we nail our selfishness and ourselves to the cross to die, to bring You glory and honor, God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.